The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
It's a Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Lair and Emily, never a standing host, always top billing today, Tamsin Greenway. Tamsin, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And I don't know about you, but do you remember the last time we did something like this? Everybody paid £12 and pie and peas were included?
Is that what it was?
Oh, God. And since then, Grangetown had gone on to sign Ash and Kyra as well.
Yeah, so. That is true. It was pretty amazing, wasn't it? It was really good. Really good night.
How have you been since the last time we spoke for Katie's podcast?
In terms of netball or?
In general, in terms of things going on?
Well, to be honest, the netball is just, I think we're all just dying to get back, aren't we? There's some sort of normality starting to come in now, which is really good. But I've still yet to get up to Scotland and start working with the squad. So I think for me, that's kind of my benchmark at the minute. It's great that things are starting to happen and get into place. But until I get back and get back to working, for me, it still just feels like lockdown.
Before we look at Storm to the Perry, really, I mean, that signing window's just opened. So what's that like at this time for a current player?
Well, you know what? It's weird. I think it's different for each player. I always used to say this when you were recruiting or signing or doing whatever as a coach. There's always a core group that you just know are going to stay, that are happy, that want to be where they are, that are doing what they're doing, life choices, play choices, whatever. But then there's the other group that are looking at other opportunities and going, do I want more court time? You know, has my uni course finished? Do I want to go and work with a different coach? Do I want to try a new opportunity? So I think it's a bit of a weird one for both coaches and players at this time. I'm happy that I think the window was a bit shorter. And so although it feels a bit more manic for players and coaches, I think it's definitely the way forward. But I always used to judge it as quite an exciting time, you know, that you're always waiting to see who gets who and sort of overseas signings, which would be really interesting this year with COVID and what's happening. And also just, you know, retaining those players is a bit of buzz around it and getting the new players in that you want. So it is probably a bit of a stressful time for some, but I always judge it as quite an exciting time.
Obviously, it's a funny one this year as well with Leeds coming in, yeah. With big retirements happening, obviously, especially down here with Storm. So, I mean, I couldn't agree more with T. It's just one of those very, you're on your phone a lot from a coach perspective.
I remember actually Mel, when she first took over the gig and last summer she rang me at Wasps and was like, Jesus T, I just didn't realise. And you were literally, she was like, I was doing phone calls on holiday, like trying to sign contracts and stuff. I'm like, yeah, it gets pretty mental. And I don't think people quite understand how much work it takes to get an overseas player in as well. Like that is tricky. And then of course you've got all the other battles with Suncorp going on and the New Zealand League and then, you know, players making life choices with uni and stuff. Like it becomes really, really difficult and definitely coaches don't get a break through the summer. Yeah,
global pandemics, no court space, so you can actually see some of these kids playing, all that good stuff.
But it is exciting, right?
Absolutely. Wouldn't change it.
But you know that as a coach, you'll have that degree of respect from the players as well. So your door would almost be open. So there would be that free flow of information between you, maybe even before something was decided.
Yeah, but there's also really difficult conversations. You know, I've been sat with players who you want to keep that openly are telling you they want to leave for various reasons. And so it becomes, you have to have some really honest, open conversations with players that, you know, sometimes you don't like, sometimes the player doesn't like. There's battles between other clubs. And like Em said, a new team comes in, like Rhinos, and they're starting from scratch, just like Wasps did and Stars did a few seasons ago. And so you know that players are being approached and being talked to. And yeah, it's quite a strange time, but it is part of the game. And I think actually as netballers, we've got to get better at it because those conversations are really important. And players have got to get better at it as well in terms of having the openness with coaches and making those big decisions.
So when it was Wasps season one, what percentage of the Storm team did you actually ask at the time? And
you know what? I'll be really upfront about this. I spoke to her, to Rachel, and Rachel was the only player that knew I was leaving before in terms of like before the end of the season. So I spoke to her halfway through. I'd spoken to Surrey Storm halfway through the season and told the bosses there that I was going to go. So that was all out in the open in terms of that. In terms of players, there was a couple of players that approached me and said, if you're going, I want to come with you. There was a couple of players I approached. But I actually only took, bearing in mind that season, Pam was leaving, retiring, I think then. Kat Ains was doing the same. So there was only, I think, four of the starting lineup that were actually coming with me. When you actually look at it, Fran at that point had come through the age group and hadn't been a senior player, hadn't been going on to that stuff. So, you know, there was quite a few. And actually, it's quite interesting because I approached six players, got them all signed, Sam May included. And then I went and approached two more, waited to see what they said. Then I went and approached two more. I didn't go off offering contracts to every single player under the sun. I knew who I wanted, and I went to them and asked them honestly. And actually, Nat Haythornthwaite was the hardest player to sign because she was umming and ahhing about it. And I remember being in Australia with the under 21s at the time, and she rang me and said, I can't, like, life up there. And you know, she was living with her partner and there was loads of other stuff going on with uni and stuff. And so I rang my boss and went, we haven't got her, sorry. And he rang her the next day and got her to come down to Wasps. And that's how eventually we got her, because we went and showed her the facilities, sold her the dream, and she signed. But yeah, that's pretty much how I did it. So it wasn't as dodgy as everyone thinks. I think people get some, and they also have to remember that people like Amy Flanagan, I've worked with since she was 17. Like, this
exactly.
It wasn't just like a, oh, by the way, this is the team I want to take. Some of these players, we grew up together. I grew as a coach and they grew as a player. So it was, yeah, it was, Rach was the first one. Soph and Amy were the two that I approached after that. And actually Hannah, I never thought would come. But I think the pull with Rachel, she decided in the end, actually, she wanted a new challenge and wanted to do something.
You're a great coach. You've had plenty of great coaches in your career as well. So how much did you draw from Lynn?
Oh, Lynn is my total netball guru. Like, she was the best coach hands down that I've ever worked with. She thought about the game in a completely different way. She's the reason that half those players are in the England squad and are still in there competing. You know, when you look at the list, the caliber of player that came through Bath and actually how that team progressed, like in year one and two, that team were getting smashed every week. We were finishing fifth and sixth in the Super Cup, to then go on, I think it was in season three, and win it for the first time, and then go a season unbeaten as well, something ridiculous like that. Like, we just played netball differently, from fitness through to physicality through to technical stuff. And that was all her. She was tough, but she was that person that you wanted to please every single second of the day. She just had this way with culture. She was really spiritual. She was not only a great coach to me, she turned into be a very, very good friend. And I actually often say she almost ruined the game for me, because she was so good and I never got to have her at England, and I never really got to have her fully coaches as a team Bath coach. She was our high performance coach, but she was never the Super Cup or Super League team coach when I was there. So I really regret that I never had that opportunity with her.
That benefits everybody, really, doesn't it? Just having someone who totally gets your style of play.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Lynn, she was inclusive of everybody. So she understood what made you tick. She knew how to play to my competitive side. Like, I remember a session, like, we've got so many stories of Lynn, but I remember a session where she's making a sprint, basically. And every time we got back to the beginning, she was like, I was up at Loughborough yesterday and these girls did eight and you're only doing seven. And I was dying to try and get to eight, because I knew she was lying. I knew it wasn't even possible to get eight, but yet I was still tearing up that court trying to get to eight. And she just had this uncanny way of knowing how you tick. I mean, she pushed me to places I'd never been before. But the reality is, we all became international players because of her. Very first session, she asked us to rate ourselves out of 10 on an international scale. And after that first session, you knew to go very, very low. Never go 7 or 8, always go 2 or 3. And that was Lynn. She was a complete genius and a genius coach really before her time, in terms of how she's been treated in the international game and over here in the English game, because we all owe her a lot.
Where did the brain come from then? Watching non-stop games in your formative years?
I just think You're constantly learning. Like, it makes me laugh because I was a terrible coach to start off with, and not because it wasn't necessarily that I didn't know my stuff, but getting the biggest thing, so many people know stuff, is getting your players to actually do it. It's so easy to talk about stuff, but actually to get your players to do what you need them to do and then to do it under pressure is probably the thing that I had to learn. And that was mainly the man management stuff. And that was something I really had to grow into. But I think in terms of the game, like it's a weird thing. I've always worked out how to win stuff. That's always been kind of the overall goal. And I was like that from a kid. And so I think that's always just transferred into how I've wanted to coach as well. I mean, it's pretty intense in time. And as she knows, being a mate, it's sometimes nonstop when I'm talking about netball or going on about it. But you're constantly evolving. And I think that's the biggest thing as a coach as well, not getting stuck in your ways. Just because something worked one season doesn't mean it will work the next. And I think that's probably the hardest thing I find, to constantly change and evolve. But I think that's why working with different players and different coaches and having different experiences makes such a huge difference to your overall game.
Tamsin, that side, that first side, included people like Rianne, Becky, Gemma, Natalie Seaton as well. What was special about everybody, that team at that time? Was the click there almost instantly?
Yeah, I think culture is really important, and so many people throw that word around, but you get it from the people that are there, but more importantly, that they buy in. And I think at Storm, you know, we didn't necessarily have the big names in the early days, and yet we still did really well. And it was more because everybody had a role to play. Becky, you know, Becky Trippick was Becky Nash, she was the workhorse. She would do anything for your team to get you back in the game, to win you ball. You know, you just had loads of different mixes in there. Natalie Seaton was as competitive and as feisty as you liked on the netball court. She was a pain in the neck to coach as well, because she'd always tell you she didn't like what you were doing. And then you had like the youngsters, like Katie Hughes, Katie Holland at the time, just emotional after every flipping training session, because you just pushed this 19-year-old kid and she knew she was starting and playing. You just had such a different mix, but everyone looked after each other. We were really good mates. And we kind of knew we weren't the superstar team, but we also knew that when we played together, we could beat anybody. And I kind of got us to buy into that. And I think that's why it went on to be so successful. And then you have players like Steph Bellow, who would be happily be the biggest team player ever. Even though she was so itching to get on the court every single week, she would make the team feel like $1 million.
I've only got the words hard workers written down, so...
The hard workers? Like, oh God, who would be the hardest workers? You know what? It was all just... They were all... We never had slackers at Storm, and our team would never allow it, which I think was the beauty of it. But they're all different in different ways. So, for example, Johanna Knight, she would go and go and go again until she got it right, because she was so angry if she didn't. So it was just constant. Then I've mentioned like your Becky Trippett. You know, your Rachel Dunn does everything to perfection every single week. She does not miss a gym session. She does all her warm-ups, her prehab. She makes sure everything is spot on. And I think because you started having these older players that did that, Steph Bellow, Nat Seaton would push you every single week in those groups. Georgia Lee is changing position, wanted to work her ass off to make sure she got onto that netball court. Amy Flanagan, wow. I mean, she was just quietly going about our business, and we'd always laugh with Amy because she likes netball but she doesn't love it, and yet she would be there every single week pushing the team, playing. She was one of the reasons I retired, because I got so fed up of her being riding my ass every week at training. She was quicker and stronger and more physical than I was, and I'd had enough. And I think that was the beauty of Storm. We never had a slacker, because we didn't ever have an environment where that was allowed, and that was from the players. You know, I was never fussy about them all being in the same kit. I'm never even fussy about them all being on time, but I just expect when they're in there and they're in the building and we're there on court, you give me everything until you go home. And that's what they did every single week. And that's why they became such a successful group.
Amy was on a while ago, and she said that Jamie had something to do with giving her the nickname Super Amy.
Super Amy.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, she was lucky she didn't get Princess Amy. Yeah, it was. Amy, for some reason, became besotted with Super Amy. And that was that. It kind of stuck. And, you know, you have to remember, Jamie was coming to the courts from the day she was born. And she was constantly on the sideline with those players thinking they were just the best things in the world ever. And yeah, she absolutely adored Super Amy. And that's where that came about. And that just sort of stuck.
Plenty of sign-ins to the squads over the years. How about Bongi's impact?
Yeah, well, Bongi's just a classic story because you never know what you're going to get with an import. Not in the sense of A, you've not seen them play enough in your kind of environment, and B, you know, it's a big deal coming from a new country into a place and settling with either a family or a student digs or whatever. It's not like going to Australia where you're getting paid big bucks and you've got jobs and stuff. So Bongi was just a little gem, and the fact that I got her through a Facebook message and she didn't even believe it was real to start off with just makes it all the better. And she was incredible. I mean, when you talk about work ethic, geez, players could learn a lot from Bongi and the life she's had and how she's become who she's become, because she's just an insane person inside and out, one of God's good ones. And I am forever grateful for meeting Bongi and to having her in our team.
Storm Media did really great things in those early years, and London Live. What was it like being involved with Chris and Matt and the rest of the team just to get something like that off the ground?
Well, I think it's not just about your team. The people surrounding you are the things that make it special. They build into the whole culture. You can't do it on your own as a group. And we just had a real amazing group that love netball. And from day dot, when I joined Storm, when Em was there and we had our boss Jace, to how it progressed and how people like Gavin Baker got involved and Mark Garfoot, and then of course Chris and Matt, they actually genuinely loved it, which is why they would give up their time and their lives and their weekends to come and get involved in whatever we said we were going to do. And the Copper Box was one of those things that came about. And I think the first year we did it, we had about 6 week build up and we sold 3,000 tickets, and year two we'd sold it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were always pushing the boundaries at Storm. It was only in little ways. Like, I'm not saying we changed the world, but I mean, we played music at games. We had the entertainment. We brought in a different spectator. We sold out crowds. Like, we did that first year, we did this so cool like photo shoot with Jeeva and Sonia. You know, it was ahead of its time. People hadn't done that before. And I think that was the brains. There was Tracy Pinder and there was Em all behind that. And we wanted to do something different. I mean, we weren't very likable at the start. But
no,
we built up a huge fan base, and whatever happened, people were talking about it. People were talking about Storm, people were talking about netball. And I think, you know, that was actually the reason I left Bath. There was no other reason to go other than I wanted a new challenge, and they were the team that were going to push netball forward commercially, and that's what I wanted to be involved in.
Not to mention the big picture of you as soon as you entered the sports park.
The Mona Lisa I had there. I actually got to the playground. My mum was like, did they not offer that to you? I was like, where the hell was I going to put that? I mean, I don't own the hall. I don't even think I could get that past Joe. I'm not sure he'd be too impressed with that in our bedroom.
Sports park, special place to have that testimonial of yours. What do you remember most about that?
You know what? That was really, really special, just because, again, that'd never been done in this country like that. And it was, I had an amazing time, but I also think it started to set the precedent for what we could and should be doing for players that have spent all that time at a club and have, you know, played the game for so long. And it was amazing. I had all my buddies in one place. We had a sellout crowd. We made loads of money for charity. I had my daughter and my nephews and her best friend bringing the ball onto court. I got to play goal attack and no one moaned at me. And and my team won. I know my departure from Storm was in controversy, but everything I do seems to be in controversy in netball.
Never.
However, I owe a lot to that place. They allowed me to become a player coach. They helped me grow as a player, as a person. Commercially, they helped me massively. Like, I have a work. I get to work in netball every single day of my life, and I owe a lot of that to Surrey Storm. So, you know, I loved my time there. We set up so many projects and did so many cool things. And my testimonial was just another one of those. It was amazing, and I felt truly honoured to be able to do that because it was a really special night.
And Tamsin, a word on Nate and Tom?
I mean, I talk about special people, and they were both incredibly part of Storm. They were the heartbeat of Storm. I think Nay, clearly my best buddy, and she took over from Emily as manager when Emily ditched us and went to Australia, and then a massive wake-up call for Nay. And actually, it was really funny because that's why she ended up getting Tommy.
How about those back-to-back titles as well? Oh. Did they mean any more to you, Wasps, than Storm? Were they equal?
I think they've all got a place there. I think the back-to-back titles with the group we did at Storm were special. So when you talk about somebody like Tom, who sadly passed away, like I remember speaking to him before that second win, and he had his daughter Poppy, and he was like, no pressure, T, but and he was quite ill at the time. He was like, I want to take Poppy up and get a medal on court, so if you could just go out and win. And that was Tom's humor, like that was just him. We were like, okay, good, brilliant, no pressure at all. But he saved me so many times, and I think the first time we won at Storm, it was just a relief because we'd been in that final and been in that place so many times, we just felt we deserved it. And the second time was amazing because for me, I did it as a coach. And I mean, we should never have beaten that Thunder team that day. And being 12 up at half time and just looking around that change room, I just laughed at the girls. I was like, can you do that again in the second half? And they just looked at me. And it was one of those rub your hands together. I love it when a plan comes together, and it really did that day. So yeah, they were special. Look, Wasps was a different journey. It nearly killed me the first year, and it's why I stopped after the second. But it was nice to prove that I could do it again, and then we could back it up to be back on court. They were all really individually different, but I mean, the times at Storm were special because of the groups of people, and Tom has a massive place in my heart. He was amazing for Surrey Storm. But that is Storm all over. If you look through the people there, there's been some great netballing people that just care passionately about the sport.
We know you'd done the red dress and played for England as well. So did you manage to get any signed mementos from those times?
Yeah, you know what? Lockdown has been a real treat because my mum and dad decided to send down all my stuff that's been in their loft for the last 10 years. And there is a lot of netball stuff. But I was saying there's some such cool stuff. Like they kept the paper tickets from the Super Cup final in 2004. They've got match reports from when I played for England back in my first test at the NIA. And they've just got so many different little snippets of like my life over the last 15 years that you kind of forget about. I look back at it now and it's weird. I wish I'd sat back and enjoyed it a bit more because, you know, it was almost my dream to play for England from when I was 11 years old. I got my dream. I did it for a good 10 years. And then it's over and you're like, oh, wow, where did that go? Because there was so much pressure when you're in the squad. But yeah, I've got loads of memories, and actually it's been really nice sitting back and enjoying them and going through them.
Trials are taking place at the minute as well, aren't they? So how about a little bit of advice just to maybe see people through it?
The reality is netball's a team sport, and you get so many trials where people are trying to show this and show that. But the reality is if you can slot in and play with anybody, you are invaluable because you know they're the team player, you're the kind of person you want in your group. And I always say this, like, work out what it is that people are looking for. So if you're a wing attack, what's your job? Get out on the send pass, feed the circle. You do those things successfully and then you get an intercept. There are going to be lots of ticks on your pieces of paper. So just don't overcomplicate it. Really think about what it is that you're trying to do, and go out there and have a go. And just accept the fact that one time you might not be the person they're looking for, but the following week you could be. And that's the thing with a team sport, the beauty of it, it changes so quickly. I couldn't tell you the amount of times that I'd been dropped or deselected or been to a trial and not picked or overlooked. But it never stopped me. I just went away, I worked on some stuff, had some self-honesty and came back and gave it another go. And I think that's the key. It's not the be-all and end-all just because your first attempt, second attempt, third attempt doesn't quite go your own way.
And it's never easy when you've gone to trials and maybe don't make that selection. So how do you go about picking yourself up from that?
Probably actually, I always laugh about this. Pam made it into everything. She was like the poster girl when we were all kids. But yeah, it doesn't happen. And actually, then when you look at Pam's career, she did two ACLs and an Achilles. So, you know, it never worked. It's never a straight line A to B job of making it to the top. It just doesn't work like that. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a deselection. And, you know, you find your feet. And for every team you're successful in, there'll be a team where it doesn't quite work out for you, or a selection, it doesn't work out for you, or a match, it doesn't work out for you. And that's just part of playing pro sport.
Yeah, it's about how you grow and learn from that, isn't it?
Of course it is. And it's got to be enjoyable as well. You know, I speak to so many players who put themselves under so much pressure now. And, you know, the one thing I say to them, if I could go back and do it all again, I would just enjoy it more. You know, it took me so long to get into that squad. I wish I could have now sat back and gone, wow, I made it, just for a bit. And it was the same with coaching. I wish at some point I could have sat back and gone, God, I did it. God, I won 4 titles in a row. How amazing is that? And I never got to do that. And I think that's quite sad, really. And I think moving forward, that is something, especially moving into international netball now, because it's such a different vibe, you're not having the squad every day and not games every week. I've got to enjoy the moments that we have.
This pandemic's been a little tricky for all clubs, really. Are you expecting many more retirements from around the league ahead of the next season?
I reckon if there was more retirements, that'd have been out already. I'm thinking now it's going to be more a case of any sort of shock moves. I think that's what I'll be looking for, because, you know, there was only 3 games played last season. So it's kind of brave to sort of say, actually, I'm not happy at this club, or I want to move and do this now. So I'll be interested to see, and of course, looking at Rhinos, who's going to be there. And like I said before, whether we get any big imports this year, purely because of the world situation.
Storm 2021, and you leave the side as they are?
I think consistency is a big part of winning championships. So you have to have a plan. There was always a plan in all the squads I was in, at Storm, at Wasps and at Bath. It's going to be tough for Storm this year, because losing that many defenders at one time is difficult. But, you know, it started to happen all around the country. So, I think they'll be looking for maintaining most of their others, I'm sure, because you don't want to be doing changes all over the court.
As well as the finals, Tamsin, is there a game that sticks in your mind at Storm?
What would be my favourite game at Storm? God,
Cartwright suggested the semi.
Oh, Maverick. Yeah, Maverick semi-final 2016, it would have been. Was absolutely incredible. A, because we were playing against such a dream team. Like, you have to remember that year, I know Jolene and Henry got injured, but they had Sammy Wallace, they had Sam May, they had Linda Keeble, they had, they had everybody. They had so many quality players on that court. I think Sash was on there. Was it Kadeen? There was so many. Like, I mean, Ella Clark, I think it was, actually. There was so many to talk about. And I think they thought they were going to win. And we'd had like a lucky run going into it, because they'd had some injuries. So we ended up getting the home semi-final. And God, did it make a difference that day. I mean, the noise in that venue. And I still remember, because I was a coach, just coaching at the time. And it was the last like minute of the game, and we got a penalty, and I was telling my defence, it was against us, I was telling my defence, stand up, step up, step up, step up. And as Hannah did it, she went and intercepted the ball and nearly twizzled out of court. And I remember jumping up and down next to the cameraman, and he was just laughing at me. I was like, please score this, please score this. And we scored. And I think there was like 10 seconds left, and the place just erupted, and it was probably one of my proudest moments. I knew that day we were going to go and win, we were going to beat Thunder in the final, even though, again, we shouldn't have. But we, just the belief to get past Mavericks that game, and just the home crowd was insane. It still gives me goosebumps. I've got a photo of us all jumping around in that crowd, and I actually have still got the video on my computer of the last few minutes, because I just when I'm having a bad day, I just put that on and life's good again.
Scotland's the next chapter. Have you had a chance to be up there yet? No. Or has everything been done virtually so far?
Still virtually. I'm holding out hope. Like I said, until I'm allowed to go and do my job, lockdown for me is still very much in full flow. I'm hoping mid-September now we can get cracking with stuff. But every time we seem to put a plan in place, I think we're on to plan D at the moment, it gets shoved back. So we will wait and see. But at some point, I'll be able to do my job once more.
Tamsin, away from the cameras, the last couple of months has been special, no doubt, with Casey's growth and Jamie as well. So it just gives you a chance to appreciate that side of things as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say this, I'm very fortunate, because you know what? If I had carried on with the Scotland role from March, Casey would have still been only 3 or 4 months old. I'd have been travelling back and forwards. And, you know, I've had all that time, that luxury I've never really had with Jamie and Casey, where my weekends aren't totally consumed by something else and my other passion. So yeah, I think they're very grateful to have had their mum around for a lot. I think Joe is as well, and life's been very different, but netball is still me. And you know, reading all the stuff Tracy Neville's been talking about recently, like, I've had that for 7 years, and it's I get it, it's so tough. Like, being a mum is incredible, but when your passion is your job as well, which I'm so lucky that it is, I miss it. I miss it deeply. I miss my escapism to go and be me, which is at the side of a netball court, or 10 years ago being on the netball court, still wishing I was on the netball court. So I can't wait for it to get back to that part of it as well.
And I think when we spoke a few weeks ago, you just said that Storm will always be really special to you in your heart.
Yeah. I walk into that building, it still feels like home. And that's the same as Bath. You know, I've got so many special memories of so many good mates and so many training sessions and games and tears and happiness and gym sessions and Starbucks coffee. I've got so much. I love that place. It does. It still feels like home, and I'm forever grateful for what that place gave me.
Hey, well, that was good. Considering you've never done a podcast before, what do you reckon, about 10 out of 10?
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
We'll have to get you on again.
What, me talking about netball? Shocking.
We're at SurreyStorm10 on Twitter, so get in touch with thoughts and ideas of players that you'd like to hear from. Stay up to date with the latest from the club at surreystormnetball.co.uk.
The Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Layer.